Greetings, dear ones, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recording. We appreciate you choosing to join with us tonight and to worship our God in spirit and truth and to uplift and glorify His name. Our discussion and study subject of this evening is part two of the Christian's defense. And this is a very vital topic that we need to be aware of so that we can indeed apply it to our defense against all of the attacks of the enemy of righteousness to prevent us from falling into his snares and pitfalls and being defeated. So we appreciate you choosing to join with us. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled Fight the Good Fight. And the link can be found at lightministries.com/ID168.htm for the lyrics to Fight the Good Fight. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changes not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Amen. Well, let us please bow our heads and kneel for opening prayer to tonight's service. My dear beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for enabling us to have life today, for thy divine protection and watchful care throughout the first half of this new week. Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting, and we pray that your presence will be among us, to indeed bring the atmosphere and the joy of heaven down to each listening heart. And thank you so much for doing so. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be abiding guests with each one. Please continue to lead and guide us. Continue to open our eyes and understanding. Cause us to escape from sin, from error, from darkness, and plant your blazing light in our hearts. Open our understanding and allow us to behold wondrous things out of thy word of truth tonight. And we thank you so very much for doing so. We thank you, Father, that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, and that we are one day closer to heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned already, this is the Christian's Defense Part 2, which is going over the verses found in Ephesians chapter 6, specifically verses 10 to 18. And we were able to go through verses 10 to 12 last time, dealing with putting on the whole armor of God, standing against the wiles of the devil, recognizing that this is not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, especially in the high places of the various corrupt and apostate churches and other religious organizations throughout the world. So the devil is going to use any agent that he possibly can, especially those in high places, high spiritual places, rulers and leaders of various churches and denominations and religious organizations, to try and ensnare and capture God's people. And those who do not have on the whole armor of God aren't going to be aware of what's taking place around them. And they're going to be in captivity. So that's what we were able to go over last Wednesday evening. And so now let's begin at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So this verse is talking about making sure that we have on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, not just the sword or the shield, not just the breastplate and the guarding of the loins and the legs and the feet, not just the helmet to protect the head, but everything dealing with the armor of God. That way we're fully and completely protected from anything that the devil might use against us. And once we have on this whole armor of God, then we will be able to withstand in the evil day. Or in other words, we can be able to remain standing, victorious against everything that the devil can throw against us. Those that are on the battlefield, if they can withstand the brunt of the enemy's attack, then they have a very good chance of winning the day, of winning the battle, because they've resisted the greatest force that the devil can throw against them, or that the enemy can attack them with, and they're still there. So this armor of God will enable us to withstand the greatest onslaught that the devil and his agents can throw against us. And we'll be able to resist it all if we have on the whole armor of God. So after we have on this armor, what are we to do? Paul says, and having done all, or in other words, being fully prepared, stand. So this doesn't mean we're to remain sitting, or that we're to continue lying down and sleeping, but we're to stand against the devil, against all of his agents, So we're not to run and be afraid of them. We're to stand bravely against them, withstanding everything that they try to do to capture us or to defeat us. And if we have on the whole armor of God, then we have the divine offensive and defensive abilities to withstand everything that the devil can throw against us. So once we have on all the armor of God, we're fully prepared, then we're to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore. And then Paul goes into defining the various aspects of this armor of God. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Now, our loins are dealing with the very center of our body. And what is the central part of this armor? Some of the most important? It represents the truth, including the present truth, or the truth for this day and time and age, which we know to be the three angels' messages, including the fourth angel. So, standing in this armor, the very center part of it that protects vital organs deals with God's truth. But that's just part of the armor. Let's continue. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. So above this armor that's girding our loins and bowel area, we have on the breastplate of righteousness. And that is the greater part of the armor that comes from the shoulders all the way down and meets about at the belly button area. And this breastplate of armor represents righteousness. Righteousness means right doing or following the truth. So the first part of the armor is truth. The second part is righteousness. If you don't know the truth, you can't really be righteous. So the first part of the armor, the first part of defending yourself against the devil and his agents is with the truth. The next part is being righteous by following that truth, living that truth, making it a part of your life. So if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we're allowing him to recreate us in his image and to purify our lives by following the truth and becoming righteous, living his life in our own, then that's two of the largest pieces of this armor. It's protecting every bit of our vital organs, except one. That would be the helmet. So let's continue. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we have the truth. We're living it and becoming righteous. And now our feet, which would include the legs, are shod or protected by, covered over with, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now that's almost a contradiction of terms, because we're in a spiritual warfare, but yet our feet, our legs, are protected with the gospel of peace. So in other words, we're not going out and seeking a fight, but we're in a defensive position against the attacks of the enemies of righteousness. And the only way we can defend ourselves against their attacks is with this armor, with the truth, living the truth and becoming righteous, showing ourselves to be adherents of the gospel of peace. And Jesus Christ has made this peace possible between sinful, fallen mankind and a righteous, holy, just God. And where do we find that peace? Where justification and forgiveness comes together? With Jesus at the cross of Calvary. Christ, with one divine arm reached up to the grasp the divine hand of God, and with his human arm he reaches down to grasp the fallen hands of human beings and says, through me, through this connecting link between God and you, you can have peace. And you will not be destroyed. Christ is the only way to have peace with God. When Christ was born on the earth, the angels declared glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Christ is the only way to have peace with God. So this armor, this defensive weaponry, if you will, is the Christian life. Knowing the truth and following it, becoming righteous by putting off our sins, living the gospel, having our sins forgiven, and through Christ having peace with God and peace with our fellow men. Because in living these principles of the gospel, we are indeed showing others that they can have peace with God as well. That's verse 15. And then verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So in addition to having our loins and belly girt with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and our feet and legs shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition we're to have in one arm the shield of faith. And with this shield we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the devil is throwing every type of weaponry that he can against God's people. And the shield of faith is going to deflect almost all of these fiery darts, these false doctrines, these trials, deceptions. So if we don't have faith, then it's impossible to stand. It's impossible to please God. Now a shield has to be tested. And once you know that you can depend on that shield, then you're going to have it with you at all times, because that's the first line of defense against these darts. The second line of defense is the armor that you have on your body. So whatever the shield misses would strike your armor and thus protect your body. But your shield is the number one defensive weapon. But you have to test it. You have to know that this shield can defend you. And the more you test it, the more you put it in use, the more your confidence is built and your trust increases. So, dear ones, you have to live by faith. You have to exercise faith. You have to use this shield of faith. And the more you use it, the more confident you'll become in being able to resist all the wiles of the devil. So if your faith is weak, plead with God to make it stronger, and then exercise it. Through faith, everything is possible. You will indeed be able to resist all the wiles, the attacks, the fiery darts, and other type of deceptive weapons that the devil is throwing against you. But without faith, you can do nothing. So you can begin to see that this armor is just symbolic of the Christian's life. How do we prepare ourselves to stand against the devil and not succumb to his wicked devices? It's by knowing and following the truth. It's by putting off your sins and becoming righteous. It's by giving up the hatred and the envy and the jealousy and the spite, the anger that you have towards the enemies of the faith. Because the gospel changes your life and allows you to have that inner peace that passeth all understanding. And all of this is possible through faith. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. So what protects our head? What keeps our thoughts focused on the important aspects of this battle and not allow it to be sidetracked into other areas and distracted? It's salvation. What's our goal? To be with Christ and our Father and the Spirit and the heavenly angels and all the rest of the redeemed, as well as the unfallen universe, for eternity. We're running that race, the race to salvation. Our goal is to cross the finish line, to fight that good fight all the way to the end, to hold fast and endure. That's our goal. That's what this helmet is. So the Christian with this helmet of salvation, with this preparation, this godly life, will not become distracted into areas of no profit or into areas that lead away from the goal of salvation with Jesus Christ. When the city of Jerusalem was being rebuilt, and Nehemiah had permission from the king, Artaxerxes, I believe it was, to do everything he could to rebuild the walls. There came the enemies of the faith, Sanballat and others, that were trying to get him distracted from his goal of building up the wall and fortifying Jerusalem against the enemies of the faith. And when they tried through various means to become part of the workforce, and it was recognized that they were enemies of the faith and so not allowed to be part of the work, they tried other devious ways to distract Nehemiah, who was in charge of the work, from accomplishing his goal. They tried threats. They tried intimidation. They tried letters accusing him of various things. And to these, he said, I'm involved in an important work, and I cannot come down to your level in meeting these false accusations. My goal is to finish defending Jerusalem by building up the walls, and I cannot come down from this important goal. Dear ones, this helmet of salvation keeps our focus on things above, on the most important things for life, which is being one with Jesus Christ and remaining connected with Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Paul summed it up in one simple sentence, Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ." What was the goal of Paul? To be like Christ, to let him live through him. For Paul to live was Christ. Paul's character was to be a reflection of the character of Christ. His goal was to be Christ-like. That's what the helmet of salvation will do for us. It keeps our focus on Christ. So far, our feet, legs, groin, belly, chest, and helmets all protected, and we have a shield of faith. But there's more. And the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, which is the Word of God. A sword is not just an offensive weapon for attacking others, but it's especially a defensive weapon to deflect or to stop the blows coming from other swords. So the sword of the Spirit is God's inspired word. And we're told in Hebrews, I believe it is, that this sword is double-bladed. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, not just one way. There's the Old and the New Testament to God's Word, this two-edged sword of the Spirit is our defense against other type of swords. What other type of swords are there? If the sword connected with God's armor is His Word, well, then the sword connected with the devil and his agents must be the devil's word, which is full of lies and deceptions and falsehoods, erroneous doctrines and teachings from the pit of hell, Babylonian mystery religion. So this sword of the Spirit deflects, it stops, it prevents the sword, the deceptions, the false doctrines of the enemy of righteousness from striking us. So with this armor of God, with this characteristics of the Christian, of the follower of Christ, we will be able to stand against all the wickedness, the false doctrines, the erroneous ideas, the sins, the character defects, the urges of the fallen nature. We'll be able to withstand it all. So it is possible, dear ones, to stand and not fall in these last days. It's possible. Are there any thoughts or comments, any questions before we continue? Please go ahead. So then, for the Christian, for the follower of Christ, the way to be able, the process that we need to go through in order to be able to stand against whatever the devil or his agents can throw against us is found in this particular verses in Ephesians 6. Likened to the whole armor of God, following the truth, becoming righteous, putting off our sins, allowing the gospel to be the guide of our lives, and thus having that internal peace that passeth all understanding, exercising faith, keeping our goal on things above, eternal life with Jesus Christ, and allowing the Word of God to defend ourselves against any of the wiles of the devil, we'll be able to remain standing no matter what the devil throws against us or uses against us in this warfare. We'll remain firm because our feet are planted on the rock Christ Jesus. And those who come against us with false doctrines and erroneous ideas have shifting sand for their foundation. They're going to surely stumble and fall. But we have the immovable rock. And thus our footing is perfect, because it's founded in Jesus Christ, the truth, the Lord, our righteousness, the author of the gospel of peace between us and God, the finisher of our faith. And there's nothing that the devil can do against Christ. He's a defeated foe. The devil is just trying to get people to believe that he's not defeated. But he's a liar and the father of it. So here we have the Christian life, the virtues of the Christian, likened to armor. We have the feet and legs protected. We have the groins and bowels protected. We have the belly and breast area, the chest area protected. We have the head protected with a helmet. We have the shield to defend us against the arrows and darts of the enemy, and the sword to deflect the blows from the opponents of truth. But when you examine this armor, you'll notice that there is no protection for the back. The chest is protected, the belly and groin is protected, the legs and feet are protected, the head is protected, but there is no protection for the back. Why is that? In order for your back to be hit, you have to turn away from the enemy. In other words, you're exposing your weakness. As long as you're facing the enemy, this armor will protect you. But if you turn your back to the enemy, there is no protection. You become a wide open prime target, and you're going to get struck in the back, and you're going to fall. What would cause a Christian to turn his back to the enemy? Fear? Cowardice?
I was just going to say that you've been defeated by the enemy and you've given up. That's all I was going to say. If your back is to the enemy, because you don't turn your back on your foe, you face him. And you might say that Jesus has your back. You're looking out from position of strength when you're looking at the enemy from the haven where Jesus is. Anyway, that's kind of like what I was thinking.
Amen. That is absolutely true. And Jesus is the one that's leading us. He's our general in this warfare. And he's also protecting us from a rear attack. So he's not just the one leading and guiding us, but he's also our rearward protection. So we don't have to worry about the enemy coming behind us and routing us from behind. Christ has got our backs. You're absolutely correct. So if we're following our general, and our general is leading us to advance against the enemy, then we're always, if we're following our general, we're always going to be advancing. Which means our faces are going to be going forward against the enemy, towards the enemy. So then there would be no cause to turn about and expose our backs to the enemy. Unless we've given up the warfare. Soldiers can stumble and fall, but they get back up. It's only those who have given up the warfare that turn their back and head in the opposite direction, away from the fight, away from the front. They're retreating. So then, if the general is saying advance, and soldiers are retreating, what are they doing? They are disobeying their general. They are betraying their general. They're also betraying their fellow soldiers. Because with them turning about and heading the other direction, that leaves the rest of the soldiers with less protection. So they're not just betraying their general, they're betraying their fellow soldiers. Amen. They're running away. So if the devil can cause you to be afraid, then fear hath torment. You're distracted. Your goal is no longer fixed on heaven, on salvation, but it's now fixed on preserving your own life. It's become a selfish goal now. And with self as your goal, then the enemy has you in his grasp. Amen. You've lost confidence in your commander, in your general, protecting you. Because if you had confidence in your general, then you would continue moving forward, obeying his orders, advancing against the enemy. Dear ones, when we've accepted this gospel, we've put our hand to the plow, and we're to continue keeping our hand on the plow and moving forward. At no time can we take our hand off the plow and go backward. As long as we have life, we're to advance in obedience to our general who's leading the way against all the forces of Babylon. And he's never lost a battle. So you can have the utmost confidence that your general, Jesus Christ, is going to protect you and he's going to win the day. that all the enemies are going to be defeated. So then there is no cause to be afraid. There's no cause to put off your armor. There's no cause to turn around and go the other way and retreat. And thus expose your back so that you can be an easy target and be overcome. That's why there's no protection for the back in this armor of God. Because you're never to turn your back. You're always to advance. Keep your hand to the plow and your eye on the goal and continue advancing, and you will win the victory through Christ that strengthens you. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's what we learned in the study on Peter's letter, going over similar graces and virtues of the Christian that enables them to stand without falling. Paul brings it out a different way, dealing with armor or the Christian graces in the life, the process to enable you to stand against all the wiles of the devil, all the attacks of the enemy, and not become defeated. But there's more. So after we have our feet and legs, groin, belly, chest, head protected, in addition to a shield and a sword, there's more to this battle. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So after we have on all of this armor and are standing against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the fiery darts of the wicked, what are we also to do? To pray. To be a supplicant. To watch with all perseverance. In other words, not growing weary. If we don't watch and pray, then we're less ready for any attack of the devil that can come at any time. But if we're watching and praying, we will be able to resist. We'll be able to spot all the attacks coming from the enemy. We'll be able to resist the temptation to give up, to lay down our arms, our weapons, our take off our armor because it's too heavy for us. So we must watch, we must pray, not just for ourselves, but for all the saints, all our fellow soldiers, to remain steadfast, immovable, advancing, not giving up, not growing weary, but to persevere, to endure, to put forth all the strength and might that they have to obtain the goal of salvation, of winning the prize, which is Jesus Christ. That way they can say along with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ." Dear ones, that's the prize. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of salvation. the promise of eternal life. But you have to endure to the end to win that crown. It's not once saved, always saved. It's not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and immediately you're at the end with the crown. You have to run the race. You have to endure to the end. You can't grow weary and give up. Keep your eye on the prize, Jesus Christ, and don't allow your focus to be taken off of Him and put onto other things, or you're gonna fall. But praise God that if we fall, we can get back up. And God will forgive us. Because to fall into sin doesn't mean you've turned your back on the Lord. Because you can get up. You can ask forgiveness. God will give you the grace and the strength to stand and then continue to advance. So, dear ones, go forward. Nothing doubting.
I was thinking about a song. I'm not sure if I remember all the words, but the tune is real pretty. I'll see if I can remember some of them. It goes, Father, teach me how to pray. Father, teach me every day. Father, teach along the way how to be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to daily grow more and more like Jesus.
Oh, that was beautiful, and thank you, sister. And that sounded vaguely familiar. It's, you know, the tune, I guess the tune is what struck a note in my memory. I don't remember so much the words, but that was beautiful. And the scripture song to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. So hopefully, dear ones, when you hear this song of Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 sung about putting on the whole armor of God, you'll remember this short little study, and this armor will have a completely different meaning for you. And so I pray that God will help each one of us to indeed put on this armor, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow Him to live through us, and thus we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because the devil is a defeated foe. Christ is the victor in all things. So are there any other comments or any other songs before we open it up for a season of prayer, dear ones? Okay, let us bow our heads and our knees, and anyone that would like to pray, please feel free to do so, because after we have the armor on, we're to pray always with all supplication in the Spirit for all saints, for our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter where they are around the world. we're to keep them in prayer. So I'll go ahead and start, and whoever is impressed to pray, please feel free to do so. So let us bow our heads. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for giving us thy written word and sending to us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, I pray that you'll be with each one of our family members, literal family members as well as spiritual here in the home church, as well as our brothers and sisters of the faith all around the world. Help us to indeed put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the armor of God, every bit of it, all around us as a defense against any of the attacks of the enemy. Father, help us to pray more, to be more on our knees, and not just for ourselves, but for one another. Give our fellow brothers and sisters all around the world the extra grace and strength that they need to stand against the enemy and not to retreat, to advance and not to stand still, and to keep their eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ. Please keep them from being distracted by the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches and possessions or their own selves or looking to the faults of others. Help them to focus on the Lord and become like Him in character, going from glory to glory or one stage of growth in grace to another stage. And thank you so very much for doing all that you possibly can do to make possible our salvation. Help us to work in harmony with thee, being yoked together with our Savior and pulling with him and not against him in this battle. Please forgive us our sins, our shortcomings. Forgive us our character defects and not being farther advanced in Christian grace than what we are. Help us to redeem the time, for indeed the days are evil. Help us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And thank you so very much for being here in our midst, for opening our eyes and understanding, and for allowing us to fellowship one with another and to be edified by thy word. Father, help us to grow more tomorrow than we have today, and let that advancement continue on until we perfectly reflect the image of our Savior, and then we can go home. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you for all of the members of our family that were here today and for the lessons that you give us. And Lord, help every word that we speak and every action that we do be a witness to another to lead them to you. And we ask that you forgive us each time we failed, and we know that you will because you believe in forgiveness. And help us to be more like you every day, dear Lord. Be especially with us this coming week, and help us to be ready for the Sabbath when it comes. Help us to stand strong with all the armor and to be ready to face up to the devil when he comes around and tries to tempt us. And thank you, Lord, for already answering this prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming this evening and joining with us in fellowship on this midweek church service. I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead and guide you upward and onward, and that you can become more fully shod with this armor of God, with the graces and virtue of Christ in your life more and more as each day passes. So good night, dear ones, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon, this coming Friday evening and Sabbath. And I'll leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So good night, dear ones, and may God bless.